This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
And also by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use offer code SWORD7.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Everyone, welcome to the Sword and Laser episode number 137. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And this is the show where we talk about the latest in science fiction and fantasy news, talk about the books of the month that we are currently reading, and of course, discuss what you guys are talking about over in the forums on Goodreads.com. What a week it's been. I'm Veronica Belmont.
Yes, you still are. And I have not changed since I introduced myself. I'm going to be Tom Merritt this whole episode.
Did I already say I'm Veronica Belmont?
You did.
Wow.
But there, you know, it never hurts to reassure
people. Wow.
They may think, I don't know, she was Veronica Belmont at the start, but did she become someone else?
Is she someone
No, she hasn't.
Different? I don't know. It's a sci-fi fantasy show. Anything's possible.
Anything could happen.
Exactly. I'm Veronica Belmont.
I'm Tom Merritt.
Okay. Oh, boy. But it has been a crazy week. We just both got back from Comic-Con, which was bonkers.
Yeah, I actually just went down for Thursday evening, and we'll talk about a little of the events that we witnessed therein. We got to see Pat Rothfuss and
we
got
did.
To say a quick hello to him. It was very nice to see him. Mm-hmm. I didn't run into John Scalzi, but I heard he was floating around.
Yeah, I know. Was he there? I think he was there. And Scott Sigler was there. I didn't see him either.
I missed Sigler too. Damn it.
I didn't really see much of anybody, actually. Did I see anyone other than Pat?
I saw Aileen from Toy Break. That was awesome.
Yeah, I saw her too. We had dinner with her. That was very nice. Yeah, she bought us dinner. We owe her dinner. Yeah, let me see. Gosh, we saw Bonnie Burton. I saw Felicia. We did a vaginal fantasy meetup at the Geek and Sundry space. We went to Woodstock. We saw Paul and Storm. We saw Adam Savage. A lot of fun people. We saw Will Wheaton, of course, being at Woodstock. Crazy stuff going on. But Tom, what are you drinking this week? We're recording rather early in the day.
Yeah, so. We're recording at 1:20. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't ask me because I'm just drinking water.
Oh.
It's fancy. Water? I'm not drinking water. I'm drinking a nice can of Slurm, of course.
I'm having a cold frosted Romulan ale.
Ah, very nice. Very refreshing on an afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Just goes right down nice and smooth.
I'm going to have about 3 or 4 Slurm during the course of this show.
How about some more Slurm? How about 4 or 5 Slurm?
Slurm.
I think we need some more Slurm. Slurm.
You can't have too much Slurm.
No.
Just don't look into how it's made.
All right, well, let's move on to the actual show, starting with the quick burns.
Yes, we got a little George R. R. Martin block here at the top. First of all, he is associated with Amazon launching their first graphic novel. We don't do a whole lot of comic book coverage here. We leave that to the pros. But it is of interest to our folks because Jet City, which is the name of Amazon's comic imprint, will publish graphic novels and comic books with the first titles coming from George R. R. Martin, Hugh Howey, and Neal Stephenson.
Yes, all separate titles. They're not working on one master volume, which is that what I thought crazy. When I first looked at this.
It's an all-star volume.
Right.
That would be almost too much awesome. Yeah, but Stevenson's Four World Saga, Symposium number 1, is already out.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, we've got cool. Titles adapted from Martin's short story, Meat House Man, and Howie's Wool will be released in October. So if you want to continue on in the Wool universe, that may be a very cool way to do that. I'm excited about this. I wish I could get more into more into graphic novels and comic books. I don't really know where to start. Our friend Ralph has been getting me into Fables, which I've been enjoying quite a bit.
Have you read Walking Dead?
I have not read Walking Dead, which is crazy, especially since I was covering Walking Dead stuff for Comic-Con this year.
Why the Last Man? Another fine series.
All right. Well, maybe I'll have to start getting more into it. I mean, I've got the apps for it, so I really have no excuse. I don't even need to go to a comic store. They're all just on the internet now.
Don't even have to get dressed.
Don't even have to put any underwear on, which is fantastic for me. Speaking of George R. R. Martin, once again, this article was cracking me up because this is what the Iron Throne really looks like. It's the title over on IO9, and there is a graphic representation, an artistic representation, a painting by Mark Simonetti. And George R. R. Martin has said, this is basically what I was picturing when I wrote the book. It's not.
You'll have to go get the link in the show notes to see this thing. It's like, what, five times the height of the one on the TV show?
It is at least 2.5 stories tall, and it is jagged and ragged. And as George R. R. Martin mentioned in the books, you know, everyone who sits on it basically cuts themselves. Like, there's just no way of getting on this throne without in some way impaling yourself on sharp objects.
Yeah, because it is made from all the swords of all the enemies of the kingdom who have been conquered.
Right. So it's pretty scary looking, I have to say. It has none of the symmetry of the throne from the TV series.
You will need a tetanus shot if you want to sit on this throne.
Absolutely. But it's pretty cool. So go check that out. Maybe I'll just post a picture on the website also. So you guys can't miss it.
And our final George R. R. Martin story is what we were alluding to from Comic-Con at Pollen Storm's Woodstock. They opened the show with their song Right Like the Wind. If you recall, we premiered it on the Sword and Laser video show last year. It's about George R. R. Martin and then encourage him to write faster. They got about a bar into the song when George R. R. Martin himself walks out, grabs Storm's guitar, throws it to the ground and crushes it, and then brandishes the remains as a weapon.
Like, shakes it up and down, like shaking his angry fist at the audience and Paul and Storm.
But it didn't end there, did it?
Oh, no, it did not, because shortly thereafter, Neil Gaiman came out from stage left and proceeded to remind Paul and Storm that George R. R. Martin is, in fact, not their bitch.
Yeah, it is an epic video. You've probably already seen it because it's been making its rounds. In fact, Veronica's version, shot from the sidelines there, has been making its rounds. But if you haven't seen it, you must go watch it. We've got Veronica's version up on the Sword and Laser blog already, but you can also go to the Woodstock page, and they've got their fully professionally produced version from the front, so you can get multiple angles.
Multiple angles, indeed. It's very cool. I was very happy to be there. You know, Paul and Storm were like, you really should come at least for the first song.
They wouldn't tell us why, but I have to say they were nice enough, and I don't mean to brag and be name droppy, but they were nice enough to give us backstage passes to get in to see it. Mm-hmm. And right after we walk in, George R. R. Martin comes walking around the corner. He had just arrived.
Oh, yeah.
Which I got to say hi to Ty Frank, half of James S.A. Corey, which was cool. But immediately I was like, oh, I think I know what's going to happen here.
I did too. I totally guessed it.
Neil Gaiman pops out of a side room that I didn't even know he was there and grabs George. That was epic. Neil Gaiman comes out of nowhere and is like, George, we need to talk. Like, ah.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was amazing.
So very cool stuff. But moving on away from the George R. R. Martin news, just briefly, actually kind of going back into the Neil Gaiman space in a small way, there is a trailer out for Mitch Benn's Terra, which is coming out soon. And a lot of famous people, including Neil Gaiman.
And Amanda Palmer.
And Amanda Palmer. And let's see, who else do I know?
Sophie Aldred, who was Ace on Doctor Who. And another Doctor Who connection, Arthur Darvill, who played Rory.
Very cool. So you can check out that trailer. People are reading different parts of the book or it's the first chapter.
Entirely, but it's all the lines are read by different people. Neil Gaiman reads like multiple lines. Amanda Palmer sings a song that is sung by one of the characters. It's really interesting.
Very cool. So that's a different, very different way of doing a book trailer than we've seen previously.
A more traditional book trailer will be for Margaret Atwood's Mad Adam. If you've read Oryx and Crake and The Year of the Flood, you'll be excited about this because it's the third in the trilogy.
Oh, interesting. Yes, I did read Oryx and Crake. I haven't read The Year of the Flood. So I'm excited to get back into that series at some point. There's just too much to read. too much to read. But it is nice when you get a good book trailer, because it does kind of compel you a little bit more to pick up that particular book. That worked with me on Love Minus 80, so maybe this will work with you for Mad Adam.
Now, we have a rasher of Joe Abercrombie news. That's two of something, right? Rasher of bacon.
Yes, that is something. Mm-hmm.
Is that, what would be a good Abercrombie pairing if you had two
just like the cheapest, crappiest ale you can find.
Right.
It's bottom of the barrel.
Pissed ale.
Ugh. Pissed ale. Ew. Gross. Tom.
Okay. But happier news, the first law world map from the comic book, because if you don't remember, Joe Abercrombie's First Law is getting a comic adaptation, shows the entire world.
Yeah, so if you want to learn more about where everyone is traversing and kind of combining some of the different stories together into one world, now you can see where everything is going down.
And of course, Adam Whitehead at The Word Zone has an excellent side-by-side comparison of the official maps from the book with the map from the comic book, and sort of speculation on, because the comic book map just shows the world. It doesn't label what the continents are.
Gotcha. And we also have other exciting Joe Abercrombie news. He has just signed a new 3-book deal with HarperCollins Voyager, and it's going to be set in an alternative history version of Europe. So it's not going to take place in the First Law world, as Adam points out over on the Wort Zone. So it's going to be a little more loosely connected rather than directly connected. So I'm excited for this. I mean, I wonder, is it going to be as dark as the First Law? Is it going to be...
Well, no, he says it's going to be a little more broadly appealing so that young adults can read it too.
Okay, so it could still be dark, but just not maybe as violent.
Maybe not as bloody,
as graphic.
Although the first book is called Half a King, so I already want to know what happened to the other half. The other two will be called Half the World and Half a War. And for those of you worried about the First Law, they're like, wait a minute, what about First Law universe? He's got a new project with Gallants, publication date to be determined. Probably won't happen until after 2017, according to Adam, but it's going to happen. So don't worry. He'll get back to the First Law universe.
Awesome.
But Joe Abercrombie is also not your bitch. So
he is also not your bitch. Yeah. So chill out. You guys are calm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tell you to chill out. You're fine.
Chill out.
Chill out, guys.
Settle down. You over there, Paul. Stop it.
Now we've got some news from J.K. Rowling. A lot of you probably picked this up last week when the news was announced, but she had been writing under a pseudonym for a recent title of Robert Galbraith, who was supposed to be a retired police officer, I believe, with a wife and two children. Mm-hmm. That was the backstory. And his book, The Cuckoo's Calling, was coming up on the bestseller list. I mean, it was doing pretty well. It had a lot of critical acclaim as well, which I think must be very nice for J.K. Rowling to write a book under a completely different name and get critical praise for it, you know, on top of, you know, without it being tainted by her famous name.
But then, as always happens, two linguistic researchers come along and ruin everything.
Oh.
Snooping around. Peter McMillan from Oxford and Patrick Juola from Duquesne University were doing textual analysis and uncovered that The Cuckoo's Calling, because they were trying to figure out who had written it. There was a lot of rumor that it wasn't like that it was a pseudonym, and they uncovered that it's like, well, the match seems to be J.K. Rowling.
I think it was originally the Daily Mail, if I remember, from an earlier article that was kind of started digging into it, because they had a feeling that it was too well written.
They were the ones casting the rumors about,
because it was so well written for a debut novel, and it felt established. It didn't feel like a first go. So they started digging around to figure out who it could be, and eventually, the truth was revealed.
Yeah, Stephen King did this too. He just started publishing under a pseudonym to see what would happen. Richard Bachman, I think, was the name. And now they actually market those as Stephen King books by Richard Bachman. They're like, Richard Bachman, who's really Stephen King, like on the front cover now.
Just in case you didn't know. In case you're curious.
And finally, if you're listening to this close to the publishing date, it's July 23rd as we're recording it, and you've got 8 days from now, or possibly less, depending on when you're listening to it, to vote in the Hugos. The ending is 11:59 p.m., July 31st, 2013. You just must be a member, which is around $65 if you're not attending. And you go to lonestarcon3.org/hugo-awards to do it.
How long does the membership last, just for 1 year?
Yeah, it lasts for a year. But you know what you get? You get e-versions of all the nominees.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do that now.
You should totally do that. I mean, you should do it because you want to support Worldcon and the Hugos and the authors, but it's not a bad side bet that also, you get, you know, all
also
the
free things,
all the free awesome books. You get the stories too, all the short stories and everything. So come on, you get that voters packet. Do it.
Ooh, okay. So how do I do it? So they've got adult membership.
Are you really going to do this live?
No,
you're going to live blog it?
Do I have to buy a supporting membership? Which membership do I have to buy?
You buy the cheap one, the one that doesn't get you tickets. Okay. Unless you're going to go to Worldcon, in which case you want to buy the one with tickets.
No. I don't have a badge name. This is confusing. I don't understand how to do it.
Just wait till after the show.
Okay. Right. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. Now, Tom, you had a pick this week.
Yeah, I've been reading. It is a long book, so apologies if you've heard me mention this before. Great North Road by Peter F. Hamilton. But one of the things I love is Toby Longworth's narration is in voice for American characters as well as Northern England characters, but they're correct Northern accents, at least to my dumb American ears, they sound correct. And it's just a really great story that I feel like I can continue to just dip in as if I'm watching like a long form serial television show. And it's really great. And it's still only one credit as long as it is. So you can get it free at audiblepodcast.com/sword.
That's awesome. I have been listening to our most recent book pick, actually, Ringworld by Larry Niven. And I've been enjoying the audiobook version. I heard some complaints from our fellow listeners.
I liked the audio version of Ringworld. I did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Well, good. Well, then I'm glad we both liked it. Yeah, I've got about 3 hours to go, so I've still got a little more time, but I'm catching up quickly. But yes, if you want to get a free audiobook of your choice, including one of the two that we just mentioned, head over to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That is audiblepodcast.com/sword. Or if you just want to tell Audible that you're a fan and you already bought a membership, send them a tweet. It's audible_com on Twitter. Tell them that you like Sword and Laser and you like Audible.
Say you rock.
You're rockable.
You're rockable. Actually, that's pretty good.
We should write a new ad copy for them.
All right, let's take a look at the calendar. Today is July 23rd, 2013. The Long War by Terry Pratchett and Stephen Baxter. It seems like we've been talking about this book for a long time. It's finally here, as well as War That Came Early, Two Fronts by Harry Turtledove.
Yep, and on the 30th, we have Kill City Blues by Richard Cadray. We have Weird Science, Satan's Reach by Eric Brown.
Weird Space, not Weird Science. Your favorite movie slipped in there. That was a Freudian slip.
Weird Space, Satan's Reach by Eric Brown. Magic Rises, Kate Daniels by Alona Andrews. The Darwin Elevator by Jason M. Huff?
Could be Huff.
Hellfire, There's Not to Reason Why by Gene Johnson. And Three by Jay Posey. And then finally for that day, The Big Reap Collector by Chris F. Holm.
Wow, July 30th is a big day. July 31st, however, Garth Nix has all to himself. Sir Hereward and Mr. Fitz comes out on that day. August 1st, The Thinking Woman's Guide to Real Magic by Emily Croy Barker. And then our next audio podcast will be coming your way August 6th. And on that day, you get The Companions, The Sundering Book 1 by R.A. Salvatore. Yeah. And there are a few more that we'll tell you, or you can find them at swordandlaser.com/calendar.
Yeah, go look at them. There's a lot of reading. My throat's getting tired. A lot of name saying.
Hey, we got some TV news this week.
We do have some pretty interesting TV news for you guys out there. Name of the Wind, The Kingkiller Chronicles has been optioned for a TV show.
New Regency Productions and 20th Century Fox Television, which I believe is part of 21st Century Fox now in that weird split from News Corp, have optioned Patrick Rothfuss's Kingkiller Chronicles. They optioned the whole trilogy, even though the third book isn't out yet, to develop it into a drama series on Fox? Probably on FX.
Maybe, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out, because Pat said he was going to write about this on his blog a little bit more, but I do not see... He hasn't updated it yet.
Wait a minute.
About
Fox
it.
Did Firefly. Patrick Rothfuss famously had the campaign to bring back Firefly at one point. Is this some sort of move towards that? Some sort of Trojan horse?
I don't know.
Is he working with it? No, that probably has nothing to do with it. He probably just struck a TV deal, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not excited about it, though. I hope it turns out great.
From the Deadline article, it says, set in a compelling world where the sharpest minds can master magic, the Kingkiller Chronicles tells the story of Kvothe, a streetwise young man who hopes to one day hunt down the mysterious group that murdered his family. I hope it's going to be awesome.
Eric Heisler is attached to adapt it. He did The Hours. I don't know if you ever saw that on BBC. Mm-hmm. And The Thing. I never saw The Thing. The Hours was great. Also, Arnon Milchin, Andrew Plotkin, Brad Weston, and Robert Lawrence are the exec producers. They all did Die Hard, or I guess Lawrence did Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I'm nervous, though. It's always easy to get nervous.
I trust Patrick Rothfuss, though.
Of course we trust Patrick Rothfuss, but I don't trust Fox.
Yeah, but they must have done something to convince him that that was the place to do the deal. So I'm going to put my faith in Kvothe to prevail.
Kvothe.
I mean, Fox also brought us Firefly and The Simpsons and Futurama.
True.
It's not like they always.
And they killed Futurama and then they brought back Futurama.
Expect the Kingkiller Chronicles to get canceled in 12 episodes.
12 episodes. That's a magic number.
No, it's probably going to come to FX. And FX has great. The Americans is great. The Shield apparently is amazing, according to Brushwood. Mm-hmm. So if it comes to FX, I'll be like, okay, they know what they're doing over there. They're clicking on all cylinders. Yeah. That's got to be it.
All right. Let's go with that theory. I like that theory.
Another theory is that you have to pay a crap load of money if you want a great website, or you have to like do it all yourself and code it from the ground up. Neither one of those are true, thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. If you're a writer, or if you're somebody who wants to put together a sub book club, or you're just like, I got this idea for a website. I want to do some blogging, but I want it to look professional. I want it to look good, and I want it to be reliable when people come to visit. I don't want it to crash. You got to try Squarespace. It's fast and easy. It's what we use for swordandlaser.com. And I thank my lucky stars every time I go in to throw in a quick update. Like when I threw in that George R. R. Martin video that you shot, I was able to just go onto Squarespace, drag in the block that says video, put the embed code in there, done. Quick and easy. And every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website. So your content will look great on every device every time. If you want to experience it, though, you really need to try it out. And you don't have to give them a credit card or any information other than an email address to start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code SWORD7 to get 10% off and to show your support for Sword and Laser. Remember that code, SWORD7. We thank Squarespace for their support. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. It doesn't cost anything to try. Go try it out, squarespace.com.
Yes, it has made my life a lot easier.
It has. Mine too. Calendar is since they changed the layout engine, the calendar is like brainless to do now. That's awesome.
Good. Then I don't feel bad about you doing all the work for that.
You should still. I mean, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's totally hard. Totally hard. I need help big time. All right. Well, moving on to our book picks for the month. Of course, we had two, in case you were keeping up. We had Ringworld by Larry Niven and Red Shirts by John Scalzi. Red Shirts, of course, being the alternate pick. If you didn't want to read Ringworld, or if you finished Ringworld and wanted something else to read.
Because you're awesome.
Yeah. I am so far behind on everything this month because I just am. Because of traveling.
It sounds like you're pretty close to the end of Ringworld. You only got 3 hours. That audiobook's 11 hours, so you're 8 hours in.
Yes. Also made the mistake of reading the wrong vaginal fantasy pick this month.
Oh!
So I got almost done with one book and need to read the entire other book now.
Oh, that hurts.
Yep.
What are you thinking of Ringworld so far? We've got another 2 weeks before we wrap it up.
I am enjoying it. It is. It's got some great humor to it, and so it's been a pretty easy listen. I'm kind of some of the characters I'm a little bit iffy on right now, but it's picking up, and some interesting things are happening right now. So yeah, I think it's going well. I'm enjoying it.
You know, it's funny. We got some real positives. We always get mostly positives. We got some real positives in one of the threads on the Ringworld topic of Goodreads. Rick said, I forgot how much fun this book was. Once you get used to the writing style and the dated worldview, it's all just an unabashed exuberance, playing with technology, making up aliens on a big canvas. The plot is simple, but the discovery, exploration of a big dumb object, the Ringworld, and the group of explorers that fall into it and eventually escape. And then Amy said, this is one of my first science fiction books. I read a lot of Sword, but never get into Laser. I guess I read one book, Julian May, and some books that skirt the edges, but this It's amazing. It's like fantasy on steroids. It's an adventure, but also a bit Rothfuss-y in the way the descriptions just bring everything to life. Okay, they're totally different authors, so please don't shoot me for saying that, but it really feels like when I read Name of the Wind, it just sucks me. Sucks me in, and I don't actually care about the plot. I just want to hang around with the characters.
Yeah, you know, Louis seems like a guy that I would want to hang out with. For sure.
Louis, Louis Wu.
Louis Wu.
Who's always referred to as Louis Wu.
Yep. And
and then Louis Wu did this.
The character that I'm not enjoying very much is Tila Brown. She's kind of...
She's the most dated.
Irritating me. Very dated.
I don't know if you've gotten to the point where they start to explain some of her behavior. And it doesn't explain all of it. Some of it's just like, it was the 60s. It was a different time. A little bit like the Anne McCaffrey.
Well, I know that she's lucky. So she, like, okay, bad things haven't happened to her really in her life. So she is very
Haven't you
protected?
Known people like that that aren't, they don't have this like sciencey explanation for it, but it's like, oh, this person is just kind of glides
sheltered,
through life,
sheltered,
you know,
yeah,
somehow.
In some ways.
Whether they're sheltered or just lucky, mm-hmm. you know, like bad things don't happen to them. So I kind of like the character that way. I would like, it's like when you go to a lovely house, but it has a really old kitchen. You just want her to be upgraded a little. No?
Are you saying that she belongs in the kitchen?
They need, no, Tom? Not at all. That is not what I was saying in the least. What I was saying is they need to remodel Leela.
Yeah,
they just need to take that character.
Not Leela. This is not Futurama.
Oh, did I say Leela?
Tila.
They need to remodel Tila to be more like Leela.
There you go.
I'm thinking.
Perfect. Also, I love Speaker.
Oh,
Speaker
to
Animals is probably my favorite character.
Speaker to Animals is fantastic because he really wrote him very alien. Mm-hmm. Like, he just believes what he believes because he is of who he is.
And his voice in the audiobook sounds very much like this. And he talks like this.
And the Puppet Master character is hilarious, like the super coward.
The Puppeteer.
The Puppeteer, yes.
He's not a Puppet Master.
He's a Metallica fan.
He's kind of a Puppet Master.
You haven't hit that part of the book yet, but he's a huge Metallica fan.
He's a Pearson's Puppeteer, Nessus.
Pearson. Nessus, thank you.
Yes. It's hard to keep the name straight sometimes.
What do you think of Tonge, though? Because Otto started a thread on Goodreads that says he thinks it's the worst fake curse word in fiction.
Really? I've been saying it in
life
now. What the Tonge?
What the Tonge?
Yeah, I love it. So,
justice.
But you're right. Otto says, is it just me or is Tonge like the worst fake curse word in fiction? It ain't no frack, that's for sure. It lacks a satisfactory hard consonant at the end. I mean, seriously, can anyone think of a worse fake curse word in fiction? I don't know if I can make one up that sounds less cursey. Well, okay, I'll give it a shot. How about fiffery? Beat that.
Well, and Sean points out, like, it doesn't even make sense. A curse word needs to offend sensibility. Who's offended by the idea that there ain't no justice?
I'm offended at the idea that they use ain't in a phrase even that far into the future.
Yeah. Well, but it's a curse word. Maybe that's why it's offensive, because they use ain't.
And then Paul says, right, Tonge makes no gorm sense.
Nah.
I didn't really enjoy the fracking book to start with, but for Frel's sake, Tonge as a curse word is just taco. And poodoo as far as swearing goes. Shazbot. I mean, Merlin's beard. What a weak exclamation.
That's the best sentence ever written.
Yeah.
I love that. We should frame that.
They all hate Tonge. I don't hate Tonge.
You know, he's right about the no hard consonant. It isn't as satisfying as, you know, it's words that end with a K or a T.
Yeah, I guess. Crap. Crap is crap.
The P.
That's not a very
still
hard
explosive.
Consonant.
Yeah. You got a plosive.
Crap is pretty explosive. You're right, Tom. Do you say that on purpose?
No.
No?
I mean, yes, totally. It was brilliant.
Of course, Scott Lynch did a rant on how stupid Tonge is during an interview. Oh, during our interview? Apparently, Scott Lynch did a rant about how stupid Tonge is during his interview.
We hadn't read Ringworld yet.
Podcast 96, according to Alan. I'll have to go back and listen to that.
I mean, we totally remember that.
I mean, I totally remember every single interview we've ever done. We interviewed Scott Lynch. Wow, good for us.
Don't make Scott Lynch sad. We need his next book.
Yes, we do.
Then on to Red Shirts, the alternative pick, which you had already read.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished again, just as awesome as I remembered. And just a couple thoughts on this. Rob pointed out, did anyone else find this book and the way it dealt with the narrative as a nice complement to, among others, magic?
Mm.
Both were really incomprehensible forces that could retroactively create entire lives, timelines, chains of events to accomplish something very minor. I hadn't thought of that at all. That's a brilliant observation, Rob.
And then there was another post. Let me see if I can find it, because I was reading through it before the show, about how at some point the narrative stops being the narrative of the book and becomes Scalzi's narrative.
Yeah.
And so, like, at what point, does the narrative change from getting, like, super meta, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that change, and I wondered if it was going to get called out. No spoilers for people, but I wrote
from Jesus. Jesus wrote this in the thread Inception moment at the end.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I put in my interview that it is the Stranger Than Fiction of science fiction. And he even references that book in the book, so which makes it extra meta.
So much meta.
I'm going to die.
I can't keep up on it.
But, you know, I think a lot of people dismiss red shirts because they think they know the concept. They're like, oh, I get it. That's kind of clever. You know, life from the perspective of the guys who always get killed on Star Trek. That is there, but that is the least of it. It's so much better than just that.
Mm-hmm, totally. So keep up with it. If you haven't, if you for some reason lemmed it, give it a chance. It is wonderful. It's a great book.
Both these books on August 6th on our next episode, and then at the same time kick off our next book, our August book, which will be
The Curse of Chalion by Lois McMaster Bujold.
Yay! We were so inspired by meeting Lois and interviewing her at BayCon that we couldn't not read one of her books as an official pick.
And I'm happy to say that it is available in Kindle, and it is available as a paperback and as a hardcover. And I am going to see if it is available on Audible too, because I know you guys like to read your Audible
picks. Note to people, we don't on purpose pick books that aren't available in multiple platforms, but we also don't pick a book because of what platforms it's available in. I know people were a little miffed about Ringworld and it not being available as an ebook until next year. But the thing is, we want to read a wide variety of books, and so we're picking based on the books. And I want to keep it that way. I don't want to take into account the different ways you can get it, unless it's like a rare book that can only be bought for hundreds of dollars from a, you know, out of print bookseller, then we would take it into account. But as long as there's a reasonable way through a library or something else that most people can get it, we're going to pick it. But that said, we do like it when it's available for them.
Well, I'm happy to say that The Curse of Chalion is available on Audible. It's a manageable 18 hours and 27 minutes, and it is read by Lloyd James. And it's also Whisper Sync for Voice Ready.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go back and forth. I'm going to do that because that is awesome. You get this audiobook for the reduced price of $3.99 when you buy the Kindle edition first. So if you don't have credits available, that's a pretty good price.
Yeah, I wish they would make it the other way. Like, make it work both ways. Like, if you get the Audible version, you could get a discount on the Kindle version.
But that would be nice, but can't have it all, Tom.
Yeah, I want all of it. All the things.
All right, so yeah, pick that up in any of those various formats or even at your local bookstore or library. And we'll be kicking that off the first week of August. Yay! Now it is time for Bury Your Sword, which we haven't had for a while, which is our feedback from the audience.
Although you could argue that our Nerdtacular episode was entirely, like, half of it was Bury Your Sword.
Yeah, you can't hear the construction going on behind me, can you?
No, you got a good mic.
Okay, that's good, because there is a lot of drilling happening.
I hear some things, but it's not. I didn't even notice it until you said something.
All right, sorry, audience. I'll try to...
It's Nat Sound.
Nat Sound. All right, so we have a thread started by Trike, who talks about great first lines in books, and he says, after watching the Sword and Laser interview with Trudy Canavan, I looked up her first book, The Magician's Guild. I'll have to read these simply because of the awesomeness of the first line. It is said in Imardin that the wind has a soul and it wails through the narrow city streets because it is grieved by what it finds there. Evocative, intriguing, windy. I loved this thread because, this is all the way back from March 1st. We actually read this
thread on the video show.
Oh, shoot. I just remembered that because I remember reading that line. But people are still putting up first lines in here.
Yeah, it was just today that Trike went in and added a new one and then a not added one. And so it's like getting its second wind here. So I think it's kind of cool that people are still jumping in on this. Android's Dream by John Scalzi got one from a nod. Dirk Muller didn't know if he could really fart his way into a major diplomatic incident, but he was ready to find out.
Yes, that is awesome. So if you have a favorite first line from a book, hop into this thread and let us know.
Keep it alive.
Keep it alive. Sorry for the repeat. I really forgot that we read that one. We've had some great threads over the year, and you guys keep bumping them back up to the top, and I just keep reading them.
Old threads are still good threads.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Ruth started one called How Much Should an Author Consider Race? She actually raised it in the Song of Ice and Fire area, but she said it didn't get much pickup, so she thought she'd move it over to general discussion. Do you think an author should always consider race when writing? To what extent should an author allow an awareness of racial issues to influence their work? I can't help thinking that if an author thinks too deeply about race, perhaps going as far as to alter the races of characters purely to avoid seeming racist, that their work is going to be tainted by racism more than if they simply wrote what they felt true for the story.
So what do you think?
I think with science fiction, it's much more of a consideration because you're projecting the future. And so you're projecting where you think race will be in the future. And I think it is important to think about that. It doesn't mean you have to actually balance your characters out, but you have to think about what will racial relations be then. And I always think about the past, right? In the United States, for instance, Irish, Italians, even Germans have all gone through periods where they were a minority that was prejudiced against. You weren't hired for jobs because of your race as being Irish. It's hard to have a concept of that now, but that happened and those races moved through it. You have the African-American experience, which has always been a struggle. It's been a harder struggle and it's been a longer struggle, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, it seems, and that seems to be fading. Can you imagine a world where that kind of race doesn't matter? The kind of racism we deal today doesn't matter. What kind of racism might matter? What kind of tribalism would play? So I think in science fiction, it's definitely something you have to consider a lot. In fantasy, I don't know. I think it's optional. Mm-hmm. In fantasy, you can say like, oh, well, we're going to make up races so we can have a racial discussion. At the same time, you can ignore it. But then if all your characters are always white in the current day, that's what Tolkien did, right?
Yeah.
The only dark people were called upon by Mordor. That can come off as really racist, and you may not want to send that message. So it's
interesting too, because I feel like when you're writing sci-fi or even fantasy and you're thinking about, I think that maybe race should come up even more because you're considering added races and like creatures that didn't even exist before, and how they would relate to the humans in that world or the humans in that universe. So I almost feel like sci-fi fantasy writers should be more aware of this kind of thing, even though it may not be reflected in the work. It seems like something that should be further forward in their minds.
And I think there's a fair excuse, and it may be hiding actual racism, it may not, but there's a fair excuse for someone who is doing something like Tolkien or George R. R. Martin, where they are projecting a version of Europe, essentially, mm-hmm. To say like, well, if I'm projecting a version of Europe, then the characters are all going to appear mostly European. And the characters that would be from beyond the sea are going to be the ones that are going to be Asian or African looking, because I'm projecting that world. I think that's where it gets tricky.
Right. So interesting thread, though. If you guys have any thoughts, you should jump on in there and continue the discussion happening over on Goodreads.com.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's all we have for this week.
It is.
Is that it?
It's come too soon to the end. I'm so sorry.
Well, we do not have an episode next week on the 30th, but if you're jonesing for something, there will be a Vaginal Fantasy live stream happening that week. So if you've been reading along with that book club, feel free to hop in there. And then we are both going to be at VidCon on the 1st of the month in August.
Yeah.
So if you guys are going to be down there, come say hi.
That's in Anaheim, California. Look mm-hmm. for us. And then at the end of the month, we'll be at DragonCon.
Woo!
And where we will be interviewing, can we say who we're interviewing yet?
I think so. Yeah, we're going to be interviewing Jim Butcher.
Hey! Yay! Interviewed him on the video show once, but never on the audio show.
Right, so that should be a lot of fun. Ha ha!
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm excited for it. A lot of travel.
And you know what? We're going to try. We're lazy, but we're going to try to get more author interviews and stick them in the feed. Maybe even some hangouts and stuff.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that. And keep an eye out on the blog. We have some interesting blog-only things that have been happening lately.
Yes. We have a new upcoming thing that mm-hmm. I think you guys will enjoy very much in the next week or so, or 2 weeks. So stay tuned. We don't know when it's happening, so don't quote me on that.
Oh, and the anthology.
Okay. Update.
Okay. So we are still hoping to have decisions by August 15th. My plan right now, if we don't get all of our decisions made by August 15th, which is starting to look like it might be possible, is to email everyone who's under consideration by August 15th. Mm-hmm. So that way, and I apologize, we're not going to be able to email all of you. I really wish we could. It's just too many people who responded. So August 15th, we'll send out an email blast that says we've sent out the decisions. And then I'll send particular emails to say, you know, you haven't been accepted, but you're still under consideration if we're at that point. Hopefully we'll be able to just send acceptance things by August 15th.
Right. But we're working hard. We have whittled things down considerably.
Yeah, we have. We're making good progress. Definitely.
Yes. So stay tuned. We are loving your stuff still. It's been a ton of fun to read. And thank you again for all of your hard work out there.
I honestly almost referenced one of the stories I just read this morning in today's show.
Oh, how funny.
It's like, that reminds me of this character that no one's ever met yet, because it's a story that no one's read yet. But that's how good it was. I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. New classic. And if you want to get in touch with us, our email address is feedback@swordandlaser.com. The website, all the good stuff happening over there, is at swordandlaser.com. Our discussions happen over on Goodreads. And if you want to call us, the phone number is 415-7-SWORD-6. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.